O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Shall we pray? O God, our God, high and lifted up, we make our worship today in the name of the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. It was in the death year of the king Uzziah that I saw the Lord, his trailing garments filling the temple, occupying a high and exalted throne, 6-winged flaming ones standing ready over him, each one with 6 wings. With 2 wings, each kept covering his face. With 2, he kept covering his feet. And with 2, he kept flying. One would call out to the other and say, "Holy, holy, holy Yahweh of hosts. His glory is filling all the world." The foundation posts of the entrance would totter back and forth from the voice of this proclaimer, and the house would get smoke-filled. Then I said, "Woe be to me, I'm ruined. Since my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts, I'm an unclean-lipped man. Besides, I belong to an unclean-lipped people." But one of the flaming ones, with a glowing ember in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from right off the altar, flew unto me and put it against my lips, then said, "Attention here. This has touched against your lips. It has turned away your moral twistedness, and your failure record is completely covered up." And after that, I could hear the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" So I said, "Attention here, send me." Then he said, "Go, let be said to this people, listen carefully and understand thoroughly. Look ye well and know by experience. Make this people's heart prosperous. Also cleanse his ears and unblindfold his eyes, that he may see with his eyes, that through his ears he may hear. Then his heart will be discerning and will repent. Then for him, healing." But then I said, "Until when, Lord? When to stop?" Then he answered, "Not before cities waste away from lack of dwellers, houses waste away from lack of people, the land become a ruined desolation. Yahweh shall have removed the human creature far away, and the forsakenness throughout the world is multiplied. Though the land be subject to destruction repeatedly, still a remnant remains in it, just as a terebinth tree and an oak tree, which have been cut down to stump, have a monument life sap in them. So the land's memorial is the holy seed." Let our Heavenly Father bless this prophetic word from Isaiah 6 to our perfection in Him. A God comprehended is no God. With these poignant words of Tersteegen, we plunge again into the vast sea of mystery, which is really holiness, that is, the holiness of God. God, the author of grace, is mystery, mystery beyond our comprehension indeed, but certainly not beyond our approaching. It is our faith, confirmed in personal encounter, that tells us of God's approachability. That same faith which tells us of his nearness to save tells us also that one so great as he could never be comprehended by the recipients of his benefits. Creator and created are completely different beings. Shall the clay say to the potter, "What in the world are you making?" Indeed not. The holy nature of Yahweh Creator must be understood to be distinctly other than the nature of the creaturely. Shall we just conclude that holy God is completely transcendent, above and beyond the world, and oblivious to every human hope and longing? Not by any means. For have we not already seen that our faith, confirmed in personal encounter, tells us of his approachability? Is there any way then that his holiness translates itself into the realm of human relationships? There is, to be sure, for holiness has moral and ethical implications, which for us to recognize in any way whatsoever makes us responsible for them. Holiness is in part, or at least is expressed in, glory. Glory is defined by some as that which is seen of holiness. Maybe we can more clearly see what glory really means by relating it to his will. God wills to be recognized as God. He is concerned absolutely. It matters to him. It makes a difference to whom he becomes known, and the measure or the degree to which he is known. That aspect of holiness which works this will out is glory. In glorifying his name by making himself known to man, holy God places man under a great new obligation. For now man must himself become holy, for the presence of a holy God, Jehovah, sanctifies, makes holy. Man has a different appearance when seen to have knowledge of holy God. God's purpose for man is also seen in a new light. His purpose is now seen to be that man also be holy. Sangster puts it pretty plainly when he says, not happiness first and holiness if possible, but holiness first and bliss as a consequence. What happens when the glory of holy God is made manifest to someone who resists it? The working out of divine glory against those who refuse to give him glory, this is the wrath side of holiness. It was the Apostle Paul to the Galatians who said, God is not mocked. The jealousy in holiness expresses itself positively in glory, negatively in wrath. Wrath is the resistance of holiness against the resistance which provokes it by not accepting it. God's wrath is the natural reaction of his will against all who oppose him. In other words, God's wrath as part of his holiness is that divine resistance against which all other resistance breaks itself and founders. God's holiness, as seen in his glory and wrath, is a great searchlight, or perhaps better still, a powerful X-ray that shows up every flaw and not only permits us to see ourselves as we really are, with our limitations and imperfections, but also makes it possible for us to see all unrighteousness as sin. The sanctifying presence of his holiness is living presence. Therefore, it is a changing, in the causative sense, a changing and recreating presence. It is constantly making over and renewing everything it touches. It leaves nothing unchanged. By far the majority of responsible scholars in the field of Semitics agree that Kadosh, to make or be holy, and Hadash, to renew or to make new, are from the same root word. To sharpen a sword, by the way, is also taken from the same verb. In fact, the noun used for holiness in Hebrew is the same noun used in Arabic and some of the other cognates for a sharp sword. I'm sure that you've already anticipated what my conclusion is here. For God's holiness cuts and separates sharply and clearly. If not by glory, then through wrath. It will not be scoffed at. It will not be toyed with. It is a changing factor in the causative sense. It works changes or makes changes. But itself is absolute and it is uncompromising. It cannot be accommodated to human value judgments. There may be some question about whether those dogmatic statements will stand up or not, but from where I stand, that's the way it looks. To misunderstand holiness is to insult the God who is holy. Thus, there is always peril and danger in holiness. To meet it at all is to recognize its absoluteness. To meet it at all is to stand always face to face with the terrible and the awful. My God is a consuming fire. Holiness, since it's the very nature of the divine, is completely lacking in compromise. It will not accommodate itself to us, neither will it let us go. We have no choice but to break with our age when a holiness demands. I should like to repeat that statement. We have no choice but to break with our age when holiness demands. He that is not with me, said Jesus, is against me. Morality is nothing if there's not with it the surrender to holiness that takes precedence over everything. If holiness demands our separation from conventional social morality, then we abandon that morality. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, said the Holy One, and do not the things I say? These things, breaking with our age and abandoning conventional social morality, may not be, and indeed they usually are not, the popular things to do. But there is no choice. The only alternative will be to abandon the power of His holy presence. This again is what I mean by the peril of holiness. Victory does not come easily and cheaply. Either way we turn, it costs us all we are and all we have, our whole lives. In his book, Witness, Whitaker Chambers tells of a moment in the trial of Alger Hiss when he, Chambers, was on the witness stand. In answer to a juror's question, Mr. Chambers, what does it mean to be a communist? Whitaker Chambers told the story of Eugene Levinet, an early German communist whose life had inspired Chambers. Levinet had organized the workers and soldiers Soviets in the Bavarian Soviet Republic of 1919, and when that republic was suppressed, Levinet was captured and court-martialed. The court came to its inevitable conclusion. You are under sentence of death, said the court. Levinet's answer was immediate. We communists are always under the sentence of death. Then said Whitaker Chambers to the inquiring juror, that's what it means to be a communist. That's what it means to be a communist? Why, that's only hints at what it means to be under the glare of God's holiness. Always exposed. Always on the frontier. always at the most vulnerable spot, never safely hidden away in the rear echelons, never in reserve for some future eventuality. The battle was joined eons ago. The front ranks, the firing line, that's our place. He that would save his life, the same must lose it. Oh, yes, you say, that's enough of this must-do business and idealism. Don't you know what it means to be human, that we're men and not gods, that we are indeed a little lower than the angel, the gods? Oh, yes, I do. I certainly do. And I'm constantly being tugged at and pulled at by the purely human, our lower. Now, I also know that man's chief problem is with himself. He has never understood himself. Furthermore, he still cries out with the psalmist, Ma enosh ketiskarenu vinadam kitif kadenu. What is man? Mankind, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What in the world is there of value in me anyway? The answer to this question, by the way, is not found in man, but in the hesed, the mercy, grace, love of a holy God. But let's come back for a moment to man's chief problem, man himself. Here I do not quote, but rather paraphrase Sangster. Scaling the unscaled mountain, feeding the hungry multitudes of the world, over 2/3 of the 2.8 billion people in the world, perhaps 2 billion today hungry and ill-clothed and ill-housed. Conquering space with satellites that place such a burden upon those of us who can produce that we cannot, if we choose, even feed those who hunger. Finding a cure for cancer and heart disease. These are all small things beside the problems which center in man's chronic selfishness, his erratic will, and his lustful nature. Can these human weaknesses be turned to victory and strength? Is it possible that human nature can be changed? Well, listen again to these words of Isaiah 6 as he views the terrible, awful splendor of the vision of holiness. Then I said, woe be to me, I'm ruined. Since my eyes have seen the King Yahweh of hosts, I'm an unclean-lipped man, and besides, I belong to an unclean-lipped people. But one of the flaming ones with a glowing ember in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from right off the altar, flew unto me. And he put it against my mouth, and then he said, attention here. This has touched against your lips. It has turned away your moral twistedness, and your failure record is completely covered up. That's the secret. There we stand, ruined and undone. We'll never be the same again. We're already under the mighty revealing glare, the sanctifying, separating glare of his awful holiness. Resist it, we surely may, but we shall certainly founder. Submit to it, we must, and hear his spirit say, this is touched against your lips. It has turned away your moral twistedness, and your failure record is completely covered up. It has separated you. Go. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne on that great day, be majesty and glory, dominion and power, praise and love, world without end.